practical and the mystical, The Emmy Louie Show, with host and one of the feng shui architecture's leading experts. Emmy Louie is an honest, fun, and entertaining look at exciting fields of feng shui, architecture, and even politics. Each week, Emmy and her expert guests, including the biggest names and trendsetters in these industries and cutting-edge experts in green and sustainable practices, offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Tune in to The Emmy Louie Show and get that spark that'll change your life. The Emmy Louie Show. Understand your physical space and activate your energy.
Flying Higher is a new and enlightening program here on BBS Late Night that is ready to soar. Flying Higher host Gina E. Jones is the founder of Seen the Light Productions and author of the recently released novel Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Tune in every Sunday evening at 7:30 as Gina and her guests share with listeners around the world various ways to lighten up and to raise their consciousness. Join them each week as they bring to light an understanding of what is really going on as we journey on the wings of angels to higher dimensions. Flying Higher, 7:30 Sunday, here on BBS Radio Late Night.
Closing morning and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and have we got a show for you today. For any of you out there, male or female, that say, I wish I could suck off an inch or two here, I wish I could put something else there, we have got a fascinating guest today who is going to give us the real scoop on liposuction. My guest is Kathy Jackson. Kathy, your book is titled Dear Diary, What My Doctor Never Told Me About Liposuction.
Yes, ma'am.
Hoy vey. I mean, this is something people daydream about. They say, oh, gee whiz, if I could just have somebody, you know, just sort of suck a little bit of this out and just sort of put it over in another place I'd like. This is really a very, very significant action to take when you want to re-sculpt your body.
Definitely.
And you are a woman. You're a professional writer.
Mm-hmm.
You have been involved in songwriting, which I found very interesting. You love mysteries. You have a small vending business of your own. You live in Maryland, and you're starting to write about mystery novels. Well, that's about as far removed, not 180 degrees from liposuction. So we got to learn more about you. Why did you do this, first of all? Because there's a picture on the front of your book, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
Shows you, and it looks like you had quite a bit of weight.
Right, and I was over 250 pounds.
250 pounds. How tall are you?
5'7".
5'7".
That's a lot for 5'7".
Yes, it is. And then the primary image of you, there's this little square image of when you were 250.
Mm-hmm.
But the primary image of you is holding up the pants that you wore at 250 pounds.
Right, they were size 22, 24, and my shape in that picture is size 16.
You know, this is such a significant surgery.
See, that's one thing I want to stress is that it is surgery. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yes, it's a major, major surgery. And I've heard some people get all excited about it, and other people say, oh, my God, I wish I'd never done it.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you feel you had to write this book? I mean, you're bearing your soul in this about what you went through. Why?
When I did my research before I had the surgery, I wasn't sure what to expect. I read stories about people went to surgery, and like you said, they have good thoughts and bad thoughts about what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
You also have those reality shows where they show the person having the surgery, and then they show them like 4 days later. Nobody ever talks about those 4 days in between, and that's what my book is mainly about, letting you know exactly what happens to you and your body during that time. So the book is actually from the time I look for a doctor to 6 months later.
Now, I want to ask you a pointed question, if you don't mind.
Please.
Why did you decide on liposuction rather than having, let's say, a lap band? I know someone I just talked to yesterday that went through that procedure.
I think I was more concerned about, you know, having my stomach staple or anything like that, rather than have a liposuction. With liposuction, they just have small incisions, and they suck the fat out. Anything else, they have to actually cut open my insides, and I just didn't want to do that.
Okay, that answers the question. Now, you researched this for how many years before you did it?
Oh, wow. Off and on for at least 10, 12 years. Because it was new. When I first heard about it, it was very new. You don't really talk about it. Nobody ever talked about it. After I had the surgery and then my book came out, I found friends that had it, and I never knew they had it because it was such a taboo thing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and they were still learning about it.
Exactly. And then you still had the people who had problems. I mean, you had like 300 people had it and one person died. And then now you have like 3,000 people have it, and maybe one person get injured, but they don't die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely been improving.
Right. And now I think there is what they call a laser type of a liposuction, where they've learned a different technique where it's not seemingly as invasive as the other one can be. Now,
mm-hmm.
tell us a little bit. You've dealt with weight.
Yes.
For so much of your life. Is this something that was in the family? I mean, are most of the people in your family on the heavy side? I mean, is there
actually on the women, they are. And on the men, they're usually skinny. I don't know why that is, but that's how it is in my family.
Mm-hmm. All right. So when you decided to do this, you had researched it for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You had been battling the bulge for years.
Exactly.
Why do you think that you had such a tremendous problem with weight? What would you say, where you are now, knowing what you know, what would you say was the reason that you had such a major problem with gaining so much weight?
When I was mainly low self-esteem, when I was growing up, I was always the person in the background, never out front with everybody else. I was more of a follower.
Mm-hmm.
I would do things unless somebody told me to do something, I would do it. If nobody told me to do it, then I would kind of hide out in the corner. Then I got married, and then I had different problems with my marriage, and then I got divorced, which made me even more introverted.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I kept gaining weight, and I was never secure in myself to take care of myself.
I think that is such a significant statement. Now, since you have had the liposuction, how has this changed this? You're a mature woman. You're
mm-hmm.
not in your 20s. I mean,
no, ma'am.
You went through a lot of stuff before you decided to do this. And we're going to talk about something of what you went through, but how do you see your patternings? Have you had a time keeping the weight off now? Because you're substantially smaller than you were.
Well, I guess right now, as far as physically, mm-hmm. I'm able to keep it off, mainly because I know how much I paid for it. I know how much what I went through to have the surgery and the emotional and physical changes I went through. And also because I'm at a size 16 now. I'm still size 16. I've had the surgery 5 years ago. And I'm more confident with myself. I'm more outgoing. I like myself. And because I like myself, I take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I like that. I think that's a very, very true statement. All right. Kathy, let's talk about how you selected your physician. Now, anytime we're going to put ourselves into the hands of a surgeon, especially with liposuction,
mm-hmm.
I mean, every time I've seen anything on it, I just get the willies. It's all I can do just to watch, the procedure. But I would ask you, how did you choose your physician? First of all, how did you go about evaluating them? And then how did you narrow it down to the one you wanted?
Well, actually, I start off, like everybody else, in the Yellow Pages, online, just narrowing down the doctors. I wanted to either have my doctor near my home or near my office. And I wasn't sure which one I wanted at that time, but I just knew I wanted somebody near those two places because you have to go back for follow-up visits. The next thing I did was once I realized that I didn't want anybody at the office to know what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
I narrowed it down to people near my home.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started asking for information, talking to the people on the phone. If they answer my questions on the phone, I add them to my list. If they didn't, then I cross them off. Some people send me information. Some people are very outgoing about the information. And then I narrowed it down to, I think, like 12 people at mm-hmm. that time. Then I started going through the prices. I wanted three areas done, so how much do they charge? Do they charge the same price for each of the three areas, or do you give a discount for each of the area? Again, I narrowed it down again, because I'm a single parent on the budget,
mm-hmm.
so I had to keep eliminating.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I got it down to two doctors, and they both lived near my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited the first doctor, who was very curt. When I went to the office, he leaned back in the chair, looked at his watch, and then asked me questions, looked at his watch, asked me other questions, looked at his watch, answered my questions, that kind of thing. He was very cold. He was very, not personable at all. I didn't feel anything with him. Here's a guy who's going to be looking at my body from head to toe. I want to make sure that I felt comfortable
mm-hmm.
with that.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. I really like this interview stuff. So how you then narrowed it down to who else?
Then I got it down to, I had only two doctors, so the second doctor I went to. Because if I didn't like the second doctor, I was going back through the whole procedure again to try to find other doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But the second doctor I went to, he sat down also, but he did not look at his watch. He sat down, sat back, relaxed, and act like I had all the time in the world. He answered all my questions. He talked about what he was going to do. The other thing is the first doctor said he would have the surgery in his office. And I asked him what would happen if something happened in his office. He said, I'll call 911. Well, I didn't like that. I could call 911. The second doctor would have the surgery in a hospital,
mm-hmm.
which means he's affiliated with the hospital, which means he has excellent credentials. The other thing is the first doctor I asked him about before after pictures, he showed me some of them, and again, he's on time constrained. He has other people I got to see. Do you really have more questions to answer? You can come back another time, that kind of thing. The second doctor pulled out three books. mm-hmm. full of before and after pictures. So I really liked the second doctor. He was very personable, very, you know, laid back. And then when he was doing the review of my body, mm-hmm. he was like, okay, what do you want? That kind of thing. His whole concern was me.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose him. So, but as far as I'm concerned, you have to be comfortable with your doctor because this is a man who's going to be seeing you from head to toe, who's going to be contouring your body the way you want it to be contoured and tell you whether you can do it or not. And also, of course, you have to go back with follow-up 3-4 months down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
now,
so that's why I chose him.
They don't do the contouring all at once.
Well, for me, they did all three areas, yes.
They did all at once?
Yep, in the hospital. They did all three areas in the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is quite a stress on the body.
Well, he would have told me that, you know, and I asked him that. And he says, no, because he's not going to be taking a lot of stuff out, just a little bit here, a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
The first doctor did say that he would have to do one area first, and then the other two areas 3 days later. So I had to go back to his office 3 days later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after I had the surgery, and I was in day three after surgery, I could barely get off the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go to the guy's office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about a little bit of the preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are. You've had certain food habits, patterns,
chocolate
years, and you knew that you weren't going to be able to do the tango right after this. So you
exactly.
decided you were going to stock up your pantry.
Mm-hmm.
I
stocked up with things and. You know how you go to the grocery store and you see the candy aisle and you see the ice cream aisle and things like that? That was my two favorite aisles. But I knew that after I had the surgery that I had to go to the outer aisles, like the vegetable aisle
mm-hmm.
and the eggs aisle, you know, the things like that. So that's what I did. I stocked up on the things that I knew I needed to have, like the fruits and vegetables and the poultry and the fish, because I couldn't leave the house. I mean, I knew I was going to be in the house for a while. And if you don't have the ice cream in the house, you have to eat whatever's there.
Mm-hmm. So you made sure you didn't have any yum-yums there.
Exactly.
And also, there are a couple of points that you bring out in your... A couple of points. There's quite a few points. And for those of you just tuning in, we're talking with Kathy Jackson. And this is her diary that she kept on her experience of going through the liposuction. And this is something that many people have had done. And as we said at the beginning of the interview, some people have been very happy with it. Other people have gone, oh, you know, just don't know what you're getting into. And that's why Kathy wanted to put this book together, because she feels that for anyone, male or female, it's good to know what you really should be aware of. And she's done a pretty good job of explaining her process. Now, one of the points of information that your doctor didn't ask you about, but you gave them information on, and it was just before your surgery, that was about your allergies.
Yes. If you have an allergy, you have to make sure that everybody you talk to knows about it. My doctor knew about it. It was in my records. But when I was waiting for a surgery, I talked to one of the nurses who asked me some questions and things. And I mentioned to her that I had an allergy. She said, you do? What kind? And I told her what the name of it was. And she's like, oh, I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Then the assistant doctor came in, who's going to be assisting my doctor, came in, and he asked a couple questions also, introduced himself. And I mentioned again my allergy. He says, well, did you tell the nurse? I said, yes, I did. He says, okay, I'll be back. Apparently, the allergy that I'm allergic to is the same thing they use to clean the body.
Oh, my.
So they had to change that liquid to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you have an allergy or any kind of medical things, you have to tell your doctor. They have to be well informed of whatever's going on.
Very important piece.
Yes, because, again, it's surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You are having major surgery.
Mm-hmm. And that's a key word,
yes.
Major.
Yes.
This isn't just a light tiptoe, the fantastic here.
Right. It's not like you go into the dentist and he gives you a needle and he numbs the area.
Right.
They actually knock you out mm-hmm. because they're doing so many different things to your body. They need you to be totally relaxed, totally just limp.
Mm-hmm. Now, you get back, you're home after the surgery. How long were you in the hospital?
I got there like 6 o'clock in the morning to sign in, things like that. I think the surgery started around 7:38, and I was back in the house that afternoon. But, yeah.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have someone drive you home, I hope?
No, the only person I told was my son. The doctor would not let me leave the hospital in a taxi cab. He said I had to have somebody to take me home. And so my son was the only person I told.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there when I woke up and took me home, made sure I had everything set. He even checked my refrigerator to see what I had in there. And then he went back to work.
All right, now let's talk about after you get home.
Yes.
Because this is something that I don't think very many people would even have a clue about.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the drainage that you had.
Now, when they do the surgery, they do like half an inch incisions, and they take the tube and go in and out and drain out the liquid and the fat. It's like a numbing liquid that they put in there and the fat. So once you go home, you're still draining, and you're going to be draining for the next 24 hours. You're draining not only the liquid that they put in there, but blood that's because of the cuts and because of the trauma that your body had. I didn't realize there would be that much drainage. The nurse gave me these huge pads, I guess maybe 15 inches square to use. And so I would take two large those large garden trash bags, the really thick kind, the green ones,
mm-hmm.
and I cut them up, and I put one behind me on the sofa, and then put one under my bottom toward the legs, and then I put one on the floor. And then I took the pads and put one behind me on my back because I had my back surgery done, and one under my bum because I had my thighs done, and then one on the floor so all the drains would just come through the pad. Within an hour, within 1 hour of sitting there, all three pads were soaked.
Mm-hmm.
And so that drainage, again, happens for the next... at least the next 24 hours.
You also were very dizzy?
Well, because I hadn't had anything to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have anything for like 12 hours before surgery. So 7 o'clock the night before was when I stopped eating. And then I got home. At this point, it's probably like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so I hadn't eaten for all that time. Before that also, I was nervous. I didn't eat that much anyway for the 24 hours before that. So by the time I got home, I'm soaking, I'm dizzy, I'm bleeding, I'm dizzy. And my food is upstairs. I'm in the family room, and it's like 7 steps up the steps. And let me tell you, it was hard to get from the sofa to the family room. It's like a one-minute trip on any other day. But because I had three areas done, the only area that was not hurting was my arms. So I had to use my arms to push myself off the sofa, which was I can't even explain to you how painful that was. To go upstairs, which, again, I had my thighs done, so every movement, I felt every single inch of pain. But I had to go upstairs because that's where the water was and my food was, and I had to take my pill, but I couldn't take it unless I had the water.
Mm-hmm.
Never occurred to me to bring water to the family room when I came down the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So here are some things you've got to make sure that if you're doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
One, if you have someone there with you,
mm-hmm.
you're going through this. I mean, I'm sure there's other people that have gone through the same scenario, and nobody even gave them really very much of a clue how to be prepared for this.
Exactly.
And you had pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I had pain. I was bleeding, I was dizzy, and I had no water to take my pill.
Now, you said one of your worst experiences is that in doing this, you had no one to confide in.
Exactly.
You felt so lonely with this. Why? This is your decision. What?
Well, because the couple of people I did talk to, you know, you sit at dinner, you just kind of say, what do you think about?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, oh, no, I would never do it. And anybody think about doing it, I think it's crazy, etc. So I didn't tell anybody, not even my mom, and my mom was really pissed when she found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, when I was sitting there, I wished I had told somebody, told my girlfriend, told my mom, told somebody. And like I said, I did tell my son, but he's my son. Mm-hmm. I can't share with my son how much pain his mom is in. I'm supposed to protect him, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't tell him, so it was just me and my diary and my pads.
Now, you also had to wear a particular garment.
Yes, because your body has gone through trauma, and they sucked out the fat. You have to have the body really tight so that the body, as it heals, it'll shrink into the contoured way that you wanted it to have. So it's like wearing, like if you were a hot dog, you had that sausage outside lining on the sausage or a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. It's really tight on you. And it covered from my shoulders all the way down to my ankles. And I could not take that garment off for at least 72 hours. And even though I'm bleeding and it's draining and all that stuff, I cannot take it off for at least 72 hours, which is a whole thing in itself.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how did you get it on in the first place?
Well, it was on when I woke up.
So they put it on you?
Yeah, they put it on me when I woke up. And then when I knew I had a garment, but I didn't realize how tight it would be or how long it would be. And when they told me I couldn't take off 72 hours, I said, well, what happens if I have to go to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a particular hole in the bottom that's very strategic that you just open up and use it and close it back up. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's not snaps or Velcro anything. That's just there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's a full-body girdle, basically.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, one of the things that happened when you took the garment off
mm-hmm.
is that you were shocked
mm-hmm.
when you looked at yourself, but also You weren't smooth and sleek. You were a lumpy bumpy.
Yes, I was. And I bloomed up because of the trauma. I had expanded.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely expanded. And I looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy, so to speak. I mean, that's how I looked and that's how I felt. But I couldn't touch anything because it was so sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is when you take the garment off, you don't realize how much this garment helped you because all of a sudden everything's juggling.
Mm-hmm.
And because all your nerves and stuff underneath your skin is bouncing along with it, you have major, major pain.
Wow.
And then you try to take a shower.
Oh, my
yeah.
word. Amazing.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
All right, so the doctor told you, because of the way the body looked, you said it was going to take 3 or 4 months for
mm-hmm.
that lumpiness to go away. How
yeah, the lumpiness
that?
And the bruising.
And the bruising, yeah.
And the bruising, yes.
How did you feel about that?
Woman. Oh, excuse me. I was shocked. I know he said it'll take anywhere from 3 to 6 months for the body to heal, but it never occurred to me that how much healing it had to do. I didn't expect that amount of pain. I figured, I heard about the little cuts. I figured, okay, a little cut is like a paper cut. I can handle that. It never occurred to me that all the scraping they did underneath the skin is what I would be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I felt very betrayed about that. I was like, oh, no. What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, definitely.
All right. Now, there was an examination where he started removing stitches that he had done. That was extraordinarily painful for you, wasn't it?
Right, because it's only, you know, a couple of days later. I'm still healing. I'm still wearing. I had to take off the garment so you can check the whole area and things
mm-hmm.
like that. But it was so painful. And one of the problems that I had was the fact that my the really strong medicine,
mm-hmm.
I ran out of the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got that morning, I only had the regular Motrin medicine. That does not help.
Now, part of the process that you must do when you go through liposuction is to actually massage parts that have been operated on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
because you have lumps and stuff that's going through your body, so you have to actually massage those lumps. It's calcium deposits. And you have to kind of massage them so they break up and dissolve in your body and go through your bloodstream and on out your body.
Well, how did you do that? I mean, it was...
I sat there with a bottle of lotion, a box of tissue, and just went for it. And I would lotion it up, and I know at one time I was sitting there, and I was, yeah, okay, you could do it, you could do it, you could do it, and I was lotioning up myself, and you could do it, you could do it. Meanwhile, tears are streaming down my face, and, you know, just do what you have to do.
All right, so when did you finally realize that this was really worth doing? Because I'll tell you, just after listening to what you said, it's like, no way. I'm going to wait till they have a microwave unit where I could step in and say, give me 3 minutes on the left side, 2 on the right. I mean, this is something else.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I would say 2 weeks later, I was wearing size 22, 24, but when I put those on, they slid on. Without any problem, I have to squeeze, put in my stomach, anything, just slid right on.
Mm-hmm.
I was amazed at that. But all my pants were elastic waist. All my shirts were, you know, just long shirts. Mm-hmm. So I wore them. But it was just so amazing when I looked down at my thighs, and my thighs are floating in these pants.
Amazing. Now, it was how long after when you were able, I mean, here you had been, you say in your book you were at one point a size 28.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to get into a size 18. I mean, that is a phenomenal size.
Yes.
Size difference. And you said you slipped on a size 18 jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it just astonished you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely astonished you. Now, something else changed, though. You were eating differently.
Yes. I was watching what I was eating. I found I enjoy broccoli. Not as much as chocolate, but I found I enjoy broccoli. So I found it's a way of making broccoli.
Well, chocolate, I guarantee, is going to be the number one for just about everybody. But with this, with all that you went through,
mm-hmm.
and with everything that you experienced, would you do it again?
Actually, I went back for my arms. To get my arms done.
Are you serious?
I sure did.
After all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
I went back a year later and got my arms done.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what, Kathy. You are one gutsy lady, and I think you'd be able to talk about this. Now, with your arms, obviously, you didn't go through as much of a trauma as you did with your body.
Exactly. But I will say one thing. If the doctor gave me a choice of staying overnight the first night or going home, and the first time I went home, I just wanted to be home in my house, lock myself up. I did this. Okay, let me go hide. That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I had my arms done, I stayed in the hospital, and I found out that I wasn't as dizzy because they give you an IV, so my liquids are steadily, they steadily give me liquids.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend if you have that option, take that night in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. That's a very, very good recommendation. I think that that's very important. I think also, someone's going to have this done, you should tell somebody that you're having it done, and you need to have a friend,
yes,
someone, or a family member that is going to be with you, because this is major surgery.
Yes, definitely.
And I think that's something that if you were to make one change, that would be something you would not eliminate.
Well, when I had my arms done, I told my sister,
mm-hmm,
who lives maybe 5 blocks from me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was over there every day, you know, seeing how I was doing and things like that. I thoroughly welcome that.
Absolutely, because
yes,
you just don't know. I mean,
yes,
it's just too dangerous to not have.
Then the other thing I did during that first week, I went on different chat rooms to talk,
mm-hmm,
to people because, again, I was there by myself. And I wanted to talk to somebody who would actually listen to me and understand what I'm going through. And for me, it wasn't really as helpful as I hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would talk about a week later how they felt and things like that. They never want to talk about where I was in day two, day
right,
three, day four.
Right, and I think that's very important. Your book, I think, is very good reading for anyone who's considering this. And if you've considered it and you'd like to get her book, it's Dear Diary, What My Doctor Never Told Me About Liposuction. She is happy with the results.
Yes, I am.
But she is and was not very happy with the fact that people weren't as candid about what you were going to go through when you did it. Now, Kathy, do you have a website that people can go to?
Actually, you can find my book on Author House website, A-U-T-H-O-R House website. You can also find it on all the booksellers' website, like Amazon.com, Borders.com, things like that.
All right, wonderful. Well, Kathy Jackson, I'm so glad that you were my guest today. Thank you for being so candid and open with your
experience. It's been a pleasure.
And, again, the book is Dear Diary, What My Doctor Never Told Me About Liposuction. This is straight, folks. This is no make-believe. This lady is a walking experience, living a very good life. She's happy with what she's done, but she feels like you need to know what's going to be going on so that you don't have to go through the unnecessary pain and suffering she did. Kathy, again, thank you for being my guest. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now. More good things to share.